Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos, and again, Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Miriam Goodman, my dear friend and shiur implementer, organizer, conceiver of this whole idea last spring. And it's more than a year already that we have been learning together in this venue. Thanks to Miriam Goodman's idea and efforts to bring the shiur to implementation. And of course, all the women who have sponsored and Bezrat Hashem have committed to sponsoring. The Schus of the Torah is really are yours. Miriam sponsored in honor of our shiur group and all of our learning together. And I thank her and all of you very, very much. So it's amazing. It was supposed to begin as a three-part series. Remember, Miriam? Three-part series for a friend of yours who needs a certain schus. And after those 3 weeks, you said, the women really want to keep going. And Kanayinahar, here we are. So what is schus? And Baruch Hashem, we learned through the end of Tavshin Pei, we learned through the whole Tavshin Pei Aleph. And Ba'azor Hashem, Hashem should give us the kochos, and the cheshek, and the ahava, and the chachma, bina, and das. So learn through Tavshin Pei Beis, al bias kol tzedek. So I'm going to be honest. This article, which is the foundation of today's shiur, has been sitting on my work desk since January 20th, 2021. I promise. Literally sitting on my desk. And I've been waiting for the right time to teach it. And it's a piece I really want to teach. And I feel that tonight is the right time to teach it. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. Okay? Perfect. Here we are. Okay, could you see Pirkei Avos? It says Pirkei Avos 6. I forgot to say that I see my mother-in-law who's joining us this evening. So welcome, Ima. Thank you for coming. Someone just emailed me, what's the passcode? So I just want to make sure that, is she talking about this shiur or a different shiur? What does that mean? What's the passcode? I'm sorry, just bear with me for a minute. It's not loading. Forget it. I don't know where her email is. Okay, which passcode is correct? I don't know even what she means for what shiur. Okay, it's not loading properly, and I don't even know what she's referring to. Why, Hashem, I'm trying to help her get into shiur. I don't know what she means. It doesn't say which shiur it's for, so I'm not addressing this now. Maybe it's a different shiur. Let's go. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Tes. This is a perek that we read this week. This week, for those who are reciting Pirkei Avos from Pesach, right before Rosh Hashanah. So this week is the conclusion of the summer reading of Pirkei Avos. We read Perek He and Perek Vav. Perek Vav is the last perek of Pirkei Avos. And this is an extremely beautiful Mishnah. And I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think we learned it together yet in our class. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, it's such a beautiful Mishnah. Pam achas hayisi mehalech b'darach. One time I was walking on the way. Ufaga bi adam echad. A man met me. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, I was once taking a walk, and a man met me. V'nasan li shalom, and he gave me a shalom aleichem. V'hachzarati lo shalom, I gave him a shalom aleichem back. I didn't mean to do that. Ay, Hashem. Okay, let's just get everything organized where it's supposed to be so we could learn. I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. I'm not going to highlight it, because when I highlight it, it gets messed up. So I'm just try and follow along without the highlighting, please. Pam achas hayisi mehalech b'derech u'paga bi adam echad v'nasan li shalom v'chazarti lo shalom. One time I was walking on the way to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, and I met this guy, and he gave me a shalom aleichem, and I gave him an aleichem shalom. Amar li Rabbi, he said to me, Rabbi, me'ezo malkom ato, where do you come from? Amarati lo, so I said to him, me'ir gedola shechachamim v'shosofri mani. I come from a big city. It's a city of Torah. It's a city of Yahados. It's a city of Yiddishkeit. There are so many Chachamim and Sofrim, wise men and scribes in my city. Amarli, so he said to me, Rabbi Ritzon Chashatadir Imanu Bimikomenu. So he said, oh, that's so nice. You come from such a Geshmak city full of Torah learning. I have a proposal for you. Do you want to live with us in our place? Amart, va'ani etenecha alef alafim Din Reza, Avanim Tovus Margolis, I'm going to pay you all the money in the world that I could afford. I'm going to give you thousands and thousands of dinarim of gold. I'm going to give you precious gems. I'm going to give you pearls if you come to live in our place. Amartilo, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, Bini, he answers him so nicely. He doesn't say, are you crazy? He says, my son, if you give me all the silver and all the gold and all the precious gems and all the pearls in the whole world, Eini dar al b'makom Torah, I cannot leave my place of Torah to go to a city that does not have Torah. It's absolutely out of the question. I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not leaving my city of Chachamim and Sofrim. Below, in this week's parsha, we have in Perek Lamed Pasuk Yudalad, Ki Korav Eilecha Hadavar Me'od B'Ficha U'B'Vavcha La'Asoso. The matter is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do. And Rashi says, what matter is very close to you? HaTorah Shenitna Bichtav U'Ba'al Peh. The Torah is very, very close to you. The Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart to do. Below, it says, the Mishnah Elab Shebishas P'ti Raso Shel Adam. At the time of the patira of a person, when a person takes leave of this world. And this is relevant also for Yom HaDin, not only for the patira of a person, but we are all approaching Yom HaDin. What accompanies us on the day of judgment, whether it's the final judgment after 120, or the judgment that we're about to face on the Yom HaDin? Ein melavin lo adam lo kesef lo zav lo vanim tovus umargolios. None of the gashmias that we work to amass down here for the sake of gashmias is going to accompany us before the Beis Din Shel Malah. It will not be malava you, not your silver, and not your gold, and not your precious gems, and not your pearls. There's one thing that's going to take you to the din that will exonerate you for your sins and put you in the Sefer HaChayim and the Book of Zechuyot. Ela Torah u'maisim tovim bilvad. The only thing that matters is living a life of Torah and a life of good deeds. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, b'salechecha tenecha osach, when you walk, it will lead you. Ba'olam, did I skip? Yeah. B'shach b'cha tishmer alecha, when you lay down, when you go to sleep, it will guard over you. V'hakitzvosa hi tesichacha, hi tesichacha. I just want to make sure I translate that correctly. And when you are awake, it will talk with you. It is your discussion. It's going to accompany you in this world. It will watch over you in the grave. When you wake up, it's your conversation, meaning when your neshama ascends and wakes up in the next world. And so the Mishnah finishes by telling us this is what it says in the Sefer Tehillim by King David, the king of Israel. The words of Torah are more dear to me than thousands of gold and thousands of silver. Why? V'omer, because the Pasuk says in Chagai, Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav, Amar Hashem Tzvakos. The Lord of hosts says, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. So what will it help us anyway at the end of the Yom HaDin, at the end of the Ptiraso Shal Adam, of the gold and silver, of Anim Tovus u'Margolios, the things that a person chases after in Gashmios? It won't help us even one iota when we come up to the Yom HaDin, to the Beis Din Shel Malah. God doesn't care how much of that we had, because it's His anyway, says the Pasuk in Chagai, Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav, Amar Hashem Tzvakos. It's mine, says Hashem. So what are you proud of if that's what you have? The only thing that a person takes with them to the next world of truth, or on the Yom HaDin that will be our merit this coming Rosh Hashanah be'ezrat Hashem, is the Torah and the Maisim Tovim. And so Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, I don't care how much you pay me, I am not leaving a place of Torah to go to a place devoid of Torah for all the gold, all the silver, all the precious gems in the world. And it's something very powerful to contemplate as we close out 1 year in this Shir group, where we have worked mightily to, like Miriam so beautifully said, not only learn Pirkei Avos, but apply it with relevance to our daily lives, to make take-home lessons all the time. So I'm now going to begin by quoting an article from Mishpacha by Eitan Krobi from January 20th, 2021. It's literally sitting on my desk since that time, and it's waiting for me to teach it. I'll tell you a cute story. Mishpacha did not come this morning. it comes every Thursday morning. I don't know if it was because of the storm, what happened. So at 4:30 this afternoon, I called the office. They pick up. I said, hello, my mishpacha didn't come. She said, okay, that's fine. I'll give you what they do is if it doesn't come, they extend your subscription for an extra week. So I said, it's very nice. You could extend my subscription for an extra week. But I said, I can't have Shabbos without mishpacha. So she started laughing. I said, obviously, I could have Shabbos without mishpacha, but I must have mishpacha. So sometimes I'll buy it in the supermarket. Apparently, they have a local place. You could go and pick it up. Fine. Here we go. January 20, 2021. We just saw the Mishnah that tells us what's more valuable, Avanim Tovos and Margolios and Zahav Vekesef, or Tovli Torah's Picha and Maisim Tovim. Poor man's parable. Eitan Kobi writes, long ago in these pages, I wrote about a certain propensity of mind, of mine. My mind is perpetually set on mashal sensing mode. He writes that his mind is always on mashal sensing mode. He's always ready to sense a mashal. And with no discernible way to reset it either. So whatever I see, whatever I encounter, I'm in for a lesson. Everything I see and hear is at risk for being perceived in my mind as a rich, juicy parable for some deep truth about life and Torah. So anything he sees and anything he hears, and the reason I'm smiling is because I can relate to this. I'm going to give you an example that just happened today. Everything I see and everything I hear is at risk for being perceived as a rich, juicy parable for some deep truth about life and Torah. So that's the Sheitz Macher today. Some of you commented, thank you. So she says, when she puts on, I said, okay, that looks like a mop. I cannot wear that. So she says, Michal, don't worry. I see layers. I see a finished product. So I said, you know, you really need to have really good vision for this job. It's like an interior decorator. And I said, I just see a shmata. So she said, don't worry. I see something different than what you see. So I started to give her a Dvar Torah. So are you interested in this? After I just launched into my Dvar Torah. The Medrash tells us in Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Vayera, Siman Chaf Gimel. Avram Avinu is going to the Akedah. This is not what I taught this morning, if you were in this morning's share. It's the next siman in the Medrash of what we taught this morning, what we learned this morning. Avram Avinu is on the way to the Akedah. Vayar samakom merechok. He sees the place from afar. He sees a mountain, and he sees a cloud, and he realizes that the cloud is the cloud of the Shekhinah, and that's where he's supposed to go. So Avram Avinu says, the Medrash says to the Shnei Na'arav Imo, Eliezer and Ishmael, do you see the cloud? So they say, no, we don't see it. He said, you don't see? There's a cloud hovering atop the mountain. You don't see the Kedusha? They say, no, we don't see anything. We just see a mountain. So he says, oh, you see a mountain, you don't see Kedusha? Shvu lachem po im hachamar. Vani vanar necha ad kol v'nishtachav v'nishuv alechem. Oh, you're just like the chamar. The chamar doesn't see any Kedusha. You also don't see any Kedusha. You just see a mountain. I see the cloud of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Stay here. Similarly, there's a Medrash tells over, not here, but a different Medrash tells over, almost identical teaching vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu. In Perek Gimel of Parsha Shmos, Moshe was with a flock of sheep, and all of a sudden he sees a bush, and it's burning, and it's not being consumed, and he can't believe it, and it's God of the bush. And he's with other shepherds, the Medrash says, and he says to other shepherds, do you see what I see? Hasne bo erba esh, vihine esne einenu ukal. The sne is burning with fire, but it's not being consumed. Do you see this miraculous this bush? And they say, oh no, we just see a bush. He says, you just see a bush? You don't see what's happening in the... No, we don't see it. Avraham Avinu said to the Shnei Na'arav Imo, you see the Shekhinah? They said, no, we see a mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you see the Shekhinah? They said, no, we see a bush. What's the lesson? Says Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. A person has to be attuned to seeing Kedusha in his life. The Ribbono Shel Olam is all around us, but you have to open your eyes to see it. One person sees a mountain. This is the Vartar I started telling my Sheita Mecha. That's the point. So Eitan Kobri says that wherever he goes, he's looking for a mashal learning. Anything he sees is, in my mind, a rich, juicy parable for some deep truth about life and Torah. So the Sheita Mecha is telling me that she sees layers, and I'm saying I see a shmata. So I said, you know, I want to tell you this Medrash. I'm in the middle of Shir. You need to tell me something? My son needs to tell me something. One moment, please. My computer's not loading. Now it has the beach ball. Could you just give me your phone so I could see it on your phone,
here,
please?
Here, right here. Can I please?
1 second. We're on recording, sweetie. 1 minute. I'm sorry, everybody. It's not opening. I think, could I just see it on your phone, please?
I just asked Mom.
It's not opening. Yes.
Thank you.
That's all we had to discuss?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So, Oh, so she's telling me that she's Seder, and then I sing a Seder Shemato, so I start to tell this Dvar Torah. So you have to be able to see Kedusha. You have to see it all around you. So Rav Soloveitchik says, after he relates these Midrashim, he says that there was once a man in Boston who entered to Eretz for the first time. So the Rav said to him, so did you go to the wall? So the man says, yes, I went to the Western Wall. So the Rav says, what did you see? So the man says, it was a wall like any other wall. So the Rav says, a wall like any other wall. Avram says, do you see the mountain? And they said, yeah, we see just a mountain. It would be better if you did the first option, please. Could you also please bring me a drink of water? Thank you. And I'm really sorry. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, do you see the snare that's burning? They said, no, we see a bush. And the Sheir Tamecha said, do you see a vision? I said, no, we see a shmata. And the Rav said to the man in his shul, did you see the shrina? And he said, no, I saw a wall. It was like any other wall. So that's the first lesson from this piece. Everywhere we go, we have to have our eyes and our ears open to seeing the shrina in our lives. But going back to the article, I forthrightly acknowledge then that the tendency might be traceable to early sustained exposure to Shabbos afternoon pirche groups, where perhaps everything in life became a masha. Okay. But many years later, I can honestly say I've moved on, gotten over the reflexive framing of things I see and hear and read as springboards for moral and spiritual lessons. So he's moved on. Not everything, thank you so much, is a moral... 1 second, Yonatan. Wow. Yonatan, could I please have a full cup of water? This is hysterical. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to clap an al-chayn on Yom Kippur for the interruptions in this shiur. Please forgive me. Okay. Many years later, I can honestly say... Thank you. That I moved on. I've gone over the reflexive framing of things I see and hear and read as springboards for moral and spiritual lessons. No more parables for me. Well, almost. An alcoholic has to maintain a lifelong awareness of his weakness that lurks in the recesses of his personality. Given the right bottle of wine, he will regress. I, too, can easily be drawn back into the maelstrom of manufacturing mashalim. Here we go. Like last week. So first he sets the stage. Everything you read and everything you hear can be a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Even going to the Sheita Mecha. I don't mean the part about covering your hair. I just mean a comment that she makes. Then there was something else that she said. I don't remember what it was. I want to tell another Dvar Torah. Then I'm like, Michal, just, it's okay. You told her one. Like last week, when I came across a piece in the New York Times, and the piece was entitled, this is back in January, Lost Passwords Lock Millionaires Out of Their Bitcoin Fortunes. So first of all, don't ask me anything about Bitcoin, like financially. I don't understand it at all, but you have to listen to what he says. Lost Passwords, that's the title of the New York Times article, Lock Millionaires Out of Their Bitcoin Fortunes. Bitcoin, of course, maybe some of you know about it more than I do, is the name of a cryptocurrency. The article says it was created to allow anyone in the world to open a digital bank account and hold the money in a way that no government could prevent or regulate. Sounds pretty cool. So cryptocurrency allows anyone in the world to open a digital bank account and hold the money in a way that no government could prevent or regulate. Nice. This is made possible by the structure of Bitcoin. He's quoting the New York Times article, which is governed by a network of computers that agree to follow software that includes a complex algorithm that makes it possible to create an address and a private key, which is known only by the person who created the wallet. Are you basically with me so far? It's some kind of cryptocurrency that cannot be regulated by the government. It includes a complex algorithm that has an address and a private key, which is only known by the person who created the wallet. Good. And therein lies a major problem. Because, quote, as the article said, the structure of the system did not account for just how bad people can be at remembering and securing their passwords. This is not a small problem. Of the existing 18.5 million Bitcoin, around 20%, which is currently worth $140 billion, appears to be in lost or stranded wallets. Again, around 20% of the existing Bitcoin, which is around $140 billion, appears to be in lost or otherwise stranded wallets. The article tells the story of a certain Stephen Thomas, a German-born programmer living in San Francisco. He has two guesses left. You know, they give you a certain amount of guesses and then that's it. He has two guesses left to figure out a password that will enable him to unlock a small hard drive known as Iron Key. That small hard drive, which he needs to unlock, in turn contains the private keys to a digital wallet that holds his 7,002 Bitcoin. That is worth $220 million. It's locked up. He cannot access it. He doesn't know his password. He only has two more tries to unlock what is his $220 million. Quite a bit of coin, says Eitan Kobi. It's been years since Stephen Thomas lost the paper where he wrote down the Iron Key password. Think, where did I put the napkin? Users get 10 guesses before the hard drive seizes up and it is encrypted forever. Thomas, quote, has since tried 8 of his most commonly used password formulations to no avail. I would just lie in bed and think about it, Mr. Thomas said. Then I would go to the computer with some new strategy, and it wouldn't work. And my mind became desperate again. And my mind, says Eitan Kobi, begins to shift into old familiar gear. Now he's back into the Mashal Nimshal mode when he read this article. But of course, why am I telling you this? Why is this sitting on my desk since January? I don't know anything about Bitcoin. I don't own any of Bitcoin. I don't know how it works. I barely understand the stock market. If you do, it's great. Call Kavod. I just don't. I'm even reading this to you. Why did I start with the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, which is one of my favorite in all Pirkei Avos? Ritzoncha shetadur irmanu bimimkomenu? Vani eitenecha alef alafim dini reizaha vavonim tovos umargolios? Amartu olim ato no seili kol kesev vizav vavonim tovos umargolios sheba olam! Eini dar alba makom Torah. And these people have millions and millions of dollars locked up and they don't know the password. And they can't access their own funds. So why am I telling you this? What's Eitan Kobi's Nimshal? Which I obviously think is very powerful, or I would not be sharing it with you. Mamish Amides, I promised. Midrash Eker Tirchak. Since January. And my mind begins to shift into an old familiar gear, Eitan Kobi says. But of course, don't we all harbor somewhere deep within ourselves treasures of untold spiritual wealth? Don't we all harbor deep within ourselves unimaginable greatness? We just need the key, the password to unlock the door to our hearts and our souls. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki korov elacha davar me'od b'fichel b'vavcha la'asoso. Says Rashi, HaTorah she'nitna v'chtav u'ba'alpet, so close to you, k'rov eilacha. Also, my Sheitel Bachar told me something back. She's Chabad. So she said, L'babach Rebbe hated, that's a word she used. L'babach Rebbe Zatzal did not approve of the word kiruv rechokim. He said, there's no such thing as rechok. A Jew is never rechok. How could you say kiruv rechokim? It's kiruv krovim. Everybody's close. Ki korov eilacha davar me'od. We all have treasures of untold spiritual wealth. We have unimaginable greatness. We just need the key. We need to remember the password to unlock our hearts and souls. Once, long ago, says Eitan Kobi, when we were young and full of idealism, we knew the password needed to access these riches, but we grow older. Al tashichini l'eit zikna, k'chos tochokochenu, al tazvenu. We grow older, we become cynical, jaded, we become tired. But we still have a chance. Can we recall what we once knew about self-motivation, about aspiration and growth? I just spoke Tuesday night at a guest lecture in Lawrence. I saw a name here, someone, did she leave? Is she still here? Who was at that cheer? Oh, she's still here. I think this is the first time joining us Thursday night. She was at that cheer. So sometimes when I speak in a venue, they always ask, where do you speak? No, where do you teach? Do you teach? I said, yes. So they said, where do you teach? They always expect me to say, like, a school. And I guess, like, you know, the adult lectures are like the side jobs. I say, no, no. It's like freelancing. I say, I teach in many, many different venues and places, primarily adult education. That's where I teach. When I speak in schools, those are the guest lectures. We also need chizuk. It should only be for the elementary, junior high, high school, seminary. What about us at our age? What about us in our decade? We also need chizuk. We also need to know about self-motivation. Can we recall that in our youth, our aspirations, our growth, our desires, our inspiration? It's not only in seminary in Yerushalayim that you need to be inspired. It's also now. What's the key? What's the password? Find it. I read on. It goes back to the New York Times. Many people have been forced to watch, helpless, says the New York Times, as the price has risen and fallen sharply. They are unable to cash in on their digital wealth. Says Brad Yassar, an entrepreneur in Los Angeles. Through the years, I would say I have spent hundreds of hours trying to get into my wallet. Says Brad Yassar, an entrepreneur in Los Angeles, who has a few desktop computers that contain thousands of Bitcoin. While those Bitcoin are now worth hundreds of millions of dollars, he lost his passwords many years ago. He has put the hard drives into vacuum-sealed bags out of sight. I don't want to be reminded by seeing them every single day of what I have now. And it's only a fraction of what I had because of what I lost. By now, says Eitan Kobri, I am in a hard drive allegorical overdrive. This is exactly what the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us about Gehenim, about the essence of Gehenim. B'shas p'tiraso shel Adam. Ein malavin lo la'adam, says Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. P'tiraso, when you're potter from the mitzvos, that means when your neshama ascends and your guf descends, and you're now potter min a mitzvos. Ein malavin lo la'adam. Not Bitcoin, velo zahav, velo kesef, velo avonim tovus u'margolios. Ein malavin lo la'adam. It's all not coming with us. By now, I'm in allegorical overdrive. This is exactly, says Rabbi Eitan Kolbe, what the Sfarim HaKadoshim tells about the essence of Gehenim. A person sits and watches helplessly on the day of judgment as the immense eternal wealth that could have been his sits just beyond his grasp. And there's no one to put the wealth out of sight in vacuum-sealed bags in the heavenly realm. And all the while, he's burning up with regret that the Olam Haba he has is a fraction of what I could have had, but I lost it. I don't know if there's a more powerful message that I could leave you with, this wonderful Shir group. You're so committed. So many of you have been passed. I mean, we're doing this for over a year, well over a year. A year and a quarter, a year and a third. It started as 3 shiur. And every time I say sponsors are needed, it comes immediately. And here we are still learning. What message could I leave you with as we stand before the Yom HaDin? Kol ba'ei olam yavlu li'avru lefanecha kivnei maron kivakaras roa edro kein tavir tacha shifto v'tispa v'timne. We're all passing before God in judgment. And sometimes our spiritual wealth that we could have had doesn't stand for us in our merit because it's just beyond our grasp. Because we become so busy with life, we forget that there's a password. We forget we hold the key. We forget there's something more important than Zahav and Kesef. And we're chasing something. V'lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, says the Rambam. The Havlei Hazman will not help a person. And it will make you successful at the end of day. And we sit and we watch when we're being judged and we realize how much more wealth we really could have had had we just remembered we hold the key to our own ruchnias. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Jews at the end of Parshas Nitzavim, this week's parsha? I put before you Chaim Tov Bracha, Maves Klalara, Uvacharta. You choose. Uvacharta Bachayim Laman Techa. The article concludes on a more hopeful note. Mr. Thomas said he also managed to hold on to enough Bitcoin and to remember the passwords to give him more riches than he knows what to do with. As for his lost password and inaccessible Bitcoin, Mr. Thomas has put the iron key into a secure facility in case cryptographers come up with new ways of cracking complex passwords. Keeping it far away helps him not to think too much about it. As he says, I got to a point where I said to myself, let it be in the past, just for your own mental health. Following suit, says Eitan Kobri, my nimshal also turns more upbeat. As sobering, as severe, as serious of that portrait of Gehenna is, the one he just painted, where our riches are just out of reach because we didn't unlock the code while we were here, while we had the chance. It's not productive to dwell on that for too long. I need to think positive too, focusing on the fact that every one of my mitzvos and my sim tovim ensures me eternal, infinite wealth. So it's true, we cannot change the past. We cannot recover, perhaps, what was lost, even though, yes, someone's probably going to email me and tell me that tshuva changes the past, your avers become mitzvos. I know. Let's just stick with the masha. I can't really become 20 again and start my life again from 20. However, let's be positive. Put that out of your mind. Lock that hard drive away, or the iron key, or whatever it's called. And for your own mental health, realize how much you do have that remains. I need to think positive too. Focusing on the fact that every one of my mitzvos and my sim tovim ensures me eternal, infinite wealth. And maybe I'll come up with a way to access the internal password of the soul I once knew, says Eitan Kobri. Can we ask yourself, as we leave one year behind and prepare to enter a new one, can you find the internal password to unlock the treasure in your neshama? Because no matter how much we have already unlocked, the depth of the neshama is eternal, literally a chelek alokaim imal, and it is priceless. And maybe I'll come up with the way I read that, to access the internal password of the soul I once knew. But so long as it remains forgotten, I've got to say to myself, let it be in the past, just for your own mental and spiritual health. As this article ends, I emerge from my reverie, my seeing the mashal and the nimshal. I for sure said it wrong. I'm in that old Pirche state of mind, Pirche group, sans the corn chips and soda and the golem stories. And surprisingly, it still feels pretty good. Who says life isn't a parable? So it's true. Perhaps we have much more to unlock than we have already unlocked. But we shouldn't focus so much on what we have lost and what's hidden, but rather what we can still excavate, what we can still bring to light, what we can still inspire, what we can still find deep within ourselves. If my computer works, which it wasn't before, and even my phone wasn't unlocking before when my son wanted me to see something. Hashem. I want to end with something. I really could just end now, but I really wanted to end with this. If my phone lets me, my computer cooperates. Okay, the Pasuk tells us, can you see Bereishis Mem Gimel Yod? Yeah, okay, thank you. So the Pasuk tells us, this is a conversation between Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim. They need to go back down to Egypt to get more food. and they can only go back down with Binyamin. And Yaakov doesn't want to let them go back down with Binyamin. He doesn't want Binyamin to leave. So Yehuda steps up, and Yehuda says, I will be guarantor for Binyamin. Okay? And he says, Kilule hisma mahnu ki ato shavnu zepamayim. If we wouldn't have delayed so long, Father, we would have already gone there and back two times. We're all going to starve. We need to get the food. So Rashi says, Al yadcha. Kvar hayinu shavim al yadcha. You are preventing us from going. You are causing this delay. Kvar hayinu shavim im Shimon. Because remember, Shimon was kept by Yosef for 2 years. Velo nitzta arta kol hayamim halalu. We would have gone, we would have come, we would have brought back Shimon and food, and I would have ensured Binyamin's safety. And you wouldn't have tsa'ar all of these days. Lulei, excuse me. Ki lulei, this is 43:10, Perak Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud. Ki lulei his ma'manu, ki ata shavnu ze pamayim. If you wouldn't have caused this to be delayed, you wouldn't have suffered all this tsa'ar, says Rashi. And we would have already been back two times. The pasuk, that's one pasuk I want you to see. Note the word lulei. Okay? The pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 27, Chof Zayin, you recite this twice a day, from Rosh Chodesh Elul through the Yomim Tovim of Tishrei. Second to last pasuk, there's the word again, lulei. Lulei ha'amanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chaim. Would that I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You see it? Parashah of Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Baal Turim says to this week's parasha, "Umal Hashem Elokecha Suvav Chaves Suvav Zarecha." This is Devar and Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav. Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. Es Lavavcha Ves Lavav is Roshi Tevos Elo. Look on my screen. It's chapter 30 of Devarim, verse 6. It's right on your screen. Es Lavavcha Ves Lavav is Roshi Tevos Elo. You should see it. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. That's right there. The Baal Turim says, which I put over here for you, on this side of the screen. My computer is having a mind of its own tonight. The Baal Turim says, which now disappeared. Es levavcha ve'es levav es roshi tevos elo. But the Baal Turim also points out, lulei ha'amanti leros betuv Hashem, lulei osios elo. Baal Turim to this week's Parsha Nitzavim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav, points out that just like Es Levav Ve'es Levav, Es Levav Ve'es Levav is Rosh Tevos Elo, it's also the word Lulei from Perek of Zayin of Tehillim, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lulei Hamanti Rosh B'tuv Hashem, would that I merit to see the goodness of God, is also Osios Elo. Lulei is Elo, backwards. And now we go to an email, a Devar Torah Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, that Paula Spodek was kind enough to send me today, that is really beautiful, and it's going to put these two luleis together. The lulei of the Yehuda, who says to his father, if we would have gone already, we would have been back twice, and the lulei hemanti, the rosh betuv Hashem, that we want to see the goodness of God. Can you see my email? Writes Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, we are in the final days of the month of Elul, a month dedicated to getting ready for the new year. We have heard many insights and Divrei Torah based on the acronym Elul and what it stands for. But there is further significance to the word Elul. Elul backwards is lulei, which means if it weren't for, if only. The word lulei appears only one time in the entire Chumash, says Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. When the brothers are trying to convince Yaakov Avinu to send Binyamin back down so that Yosef would give them food and release Shimon, Yehuda says, I showed it to you on the screen, it's Bereishis 43:11, I believe 43:10, Ki lulei his mahamanu ki ata shavnu zepamayim. If only you would have let us go, Father, we would have already turned twice. Rashi says, we would have brought back Shimon and you wouldn't have had so much tsar. I showed it to you on the screen. You're having so much tsar, just let us go. There is another lulei in Tehillim. Oh, sorry, I missed Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. What does he say? Lulei is associated with anxiety. Anxiety with what if we would have gone earlier? What could have been had we made a different decision? What will be if we don't go? I'm bringing this to you because I also think it's a very beautiful part of Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, but also it relates to the end of Rabbi Eitan Kobi's piece. I'm not sure if he's a rabbi or not. Eitan Kobi's piece, where he says, okay, it's true, but the past is the past. And we can't dwell and be anxious about what we have lost. We must look at what we have and work on untapping our resources in the future. So this relates to that idea. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says, Lulei in Chumash relates to anxiety over the past. Oy, this whole 2 years we should have gone. Oy, this whole time we shouldn't have been here. If only we would have made a different decision. If only the viceroy would not have taken Shimon. If only we would have enough food to get through the famine. If only Rachel would not have died, this would never have happened to her sons. If only this and if only that. If only I would have lived my life differently. If only I would have made different decisions. If only this and only that. That's Lulei. But the lulei in Tehillim that we say every day, not only in Elul, but through the Chagim of Tishrei, is lulei ha'amanti liros b'tuv Hashem be'aretz chayim. Would that I be worthy to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Says Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, if you want to quiet your tsa'ar of the lulei of what if and what could have been, instead of that lulei this and lulei that, if only this and what will be, we need to work on exchanging it for a lulei ha'amanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem. If you see and you feel Hashem is in our lives, this brings us here back full circle. She sees layers, I see a shmata. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a burning bush with God, and the other shepherd saw a bush. Avram Avinu saw a mountain with the Shechina, and Yishmana Eliezer saw a plain mountain. One sees the kedusha of the Shechina, and another sees a wall like any other wall. So lulei can either be the lulei of anxiety, if I would have had a different year, if I would have been better, if only I would have learned more, spoken less lashon hara, if only I would have remembered the password to the iron key, if only I would have locked my Bitcoin, okay, if only it didn't happen. You have to move past the lulei of worry and tsar. And how can you negate the negative lulei? With lulei hemanti liros b'tuv Hashem be'aretz chayim. If you strive to see the goodness of God, you will be in the land of the living with the Ribbono Shel Olam before you always. And then the lulei of anxiety will dissipate. And the lulei of kaveh el Hashem, which is the very next pasuk, pasuk chazak v'yam yitzibach v'kaveh el Hashem, will take precedence in your life. Elul is lulei ha'amanti. Remember, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg doesn't quote it. Obviously, he's aware of the Baal Turim, but it's really Baal Turim who says, lulei ha'amanti ros v'tuv Hashem, is the Rosh Yitivas Elo. So we can't change the past or spend too much time worrying about the past or unlock the treasures of the past, because the past is the past. Yes, you have to have Charata and Azivas Chachid, I know. But you also have to find the key within yourself to unlock the treasures that are here right now. What will Tafshin Pei Beis bring? I may have lost some Bitcoin, but my neshama is endless. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't care about millions and billions and even trillions. The wealth of the neshama is endless. And we can all commit ourselves to living a life of tremendous spiritual wealth, be'ezras Hashem. Lulei ha'amanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem be'aretz chayim. Yom atano seini kol kesef v'zahav v'avanim tovos u'margolio shaba'olam eini dar el b'makom Torah. We do have shir next week, v'azrat Hashem. We have two generous sponsors. All during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So I know it's the night after a fast. I do teach the evenings right after a fast. So I hope you will join us. I wish you, and I thank Miriam Goodman for her kind, heartfelt, loving, and generous sponsorship this evening. I thank you all for joining. I wish you and your families a kesiva v'chasima tova, v'shana tova u'mesuka. So be'ezrat Hashem, I'll see you next year, and a wonderful Shabbos to everybody. Thank you so much. I'm just going to...